sports fans. It's time to come together at Abby's Pizza for a legendary hour with your caveman football team. We're eating legendary pizza and talking all things caveman football. Presented by the Insurance Lounge, your one-stop shop for all your insurance needs. Stop by for your free quote. Insurance Lounge. Insurance simplified.
Welcome to the Caveman Quarter, courtesy of the Insurance Lounge, brought to you by Abby's Pizza here on Beacon Drive. If you want to join us live for some great pizza, ladies and gentlemen, this is the night to do it. Only $26.99 gets you that Abby's Triple Topper. Now, on that Triple Topper are, well, and it's loaded, folks. It's loaded with Canadian bacon and ground beef and classic pepperoni, and they just set that one down here in front of us, and it looks good. We're going to get into that along with some football players and talk some football here about the Grants Pass Caveman. So thank you very much for joining us once again. You can join us live right here at the Beacon Drive, Abby's Pizza. Stay right here on KAJO Radio. Thanks for having us. And, Coach, welcome to the microphones of KAJO. I've got one thing that I have to do here first. Primarily, I need to thank Zach Morgan for filling in for me for a couple of weeks there. We really appreciate it. Makes my job much easier when you've got a talented sidekick like Zach. So, Zach Morgan, thank you very much. Okay. Now that that's out of the way, we can put him back in his place.
All right. Well, welcome back.
It's good to be back. All right. Coach, tough loss. Looking at the schedule, that's one that I would have put in the win column, just judging from things that we've seen. Kind of got away from you in the last half there. Let's talk about the Sprague Olympians. Tell me about the first half. They held you scoreless, and that's unusual for an explosive offense like you've got.
Yeah, no, and that's a good football team. I did not share your same absolute confidence that was going to be.
I put it as what could be in the win column. Yeah. How's that?
Yeah, no, they I think the boys understood that was going to be a battle, and those long bus trips, we're still trying to navigate that one and figure it out. And yet, collectively, that's the best we've traveled. Offensively, they came out and they had an answer for us early on. They were once again pretty physical up front and pretty committed to taking away the run, but they also did a good job of making coverage adjustments depending on the down and distance that it took us a little while to kind of figure out what it was that was going to work best to attack them. And in the second half, we kind of fell into a rhythm. But credit to them. I mean, we knew they were big. We knew they were physical. But they schemed well and then executed it pretty well at the same time.
All right, so the first half really belonged to the Sprague Olympians. And you were down at the half, I think, 8-0 at the half. We came back to the end of the third period. You're tied at 14-all. You really won that third period. And I got to go back to you. I did see that catch from Trailer with the one hand.
Oh, yeah.
That was incredible. Tell me about the rest of that period. When did you really feel like you really could come back against this team?
Well, and, you know, I mean, as much as I wouldn't necessarily say that Sprague dominated that first half, it was a defensive battle in the first half. Mm-hmm. Our defense played phenomenal in that first half. They forced a turnover right on the goal line after they were big plays. They did a few things we hadn't seen. They moved number one out into the wide receiver spot and targeted him a few times. And our challenge going into it was like, look, guys, this team wants to run the football. We got to make their quarterback beat us. And to his credit, he put four or five deep balls right on the money, made contested catches. And yet our defense, we had a punt blocked and gave up a safety. We had a couple of big plays, and to hold them to basically 6 points in that first half was huge as far as giving us a chance to kind of get our footing on offense and come back in the second half and battle. And in the second half, kind of turned into an offensive shootout where there weren't many punts and both teams were going back and forth and scoring. And at halftime, we talked about it. Say, boys, we're going to find ways to get our athletes the ball. We're going to make plays. And we did that in the second half and managed to pull even a couple times there. And, you know, all the way down to about 3 minutes to go, we have the ball driving down the field, down five.
Took the lead late in the fourth period.
Yeah. I mean, it was a one possession game, and then an interception turns into extra points for them, and they end up getting the best of us. It was tough.
All right, what do you say to your players when you put that one behind you here? It's still 4-3, third in conference. Still a good season so far. That one certainly won't define you.
No, absolutely not. And we did a lot of things in that game better than we have all year. And at the same time, continue to realize there's things that we need to work on and improve. But I was really proud of the resilience that group showed. I thought the week before that, we got a little bit shell-shocked up at Silverton and didn't respond to adversity very well until it was too late. And we talked about that all week, and we had adversity early and often in this game, and we just kept battling right up to the very end. And it was a tough one to lose because we did everything I felt like we needed to and deserved to win it. But we talked after the game, so did the other team, right? And they deserved to win it also.
What you just said about the first half and the way your team battled back goes back to flashed in front of my eyes is better than before.
Yep.
It did it better than before. So you also saw some things you needed to work on this weekend. What were those things?
Well, there's been a few things. Some of them just breakdowns within scheme defensively that gave them a couple of big plays. We played one of our most sound and physical games defensively, but then it doesn't take much against a good team. You have a breakdown and you're out of assignment, and they're going to take advantage of it. Offensively, teams have brought more pressure these last few weeks and been able to confuse us a bit. Rosette has had more pressure on him in these last two games than he has most of the season. And so we've worked on some protection stuff and cleaned some of that stuff up and had a great week of practice this week.
We've seen him run a couple of times. Are we going to start using his legs more?
Yeah, that's kind of by design. There's no reason to risk putting him out there running the football a ton, but as you get later in the season, there's a little bit more liberties you take, and you're breaking tendencies a little bit also. Teams are pretty accustomed to a stationary pocket passer, and okay, let's move the pocket a little bit and let him take advantage of his legs.
All right, defensively, you said great defensive first half. Your words for your team, run by number three, it looked like, out there. He was all over the place.
Yeah, Nate Bassett had really answered the call as far as the need to step up and play a physical brand of football, and he kind of led the charge in that. But there were a lot of plays being made. Our tackling looked back to like week one, low pad level. And again, minus a few big plays, and we break it down on film, it's like, look, guys, every 50-50 ball they threw up, they caught. And that doesn't always happen, but kudos to them for making those plays, and let's learn how we can maybe turn our head a little later or how we could open up a little sooner. But it's hard to fault it when we're in pretty good position. The other team's just making plays.
All right. We've mentioned some of the players that really made some outstanding plays. Are there other names that need to be mentioned for their effort in that game?
Well, if we're talking effort, we could really recognize just about everybody that was out there for us. We had in that game, Westenberg, we had one of our corners was out, and he stepped up and played really his first full game at corner, had what was a near interception and a couple other big physical tackles. He played a great game. Our defensive line, again, against a significantly larger offensive line, really controlled the line of scrimmage. Jet Stewart and Titan Davis and Elijah Hernandez and Jacob Thomas, another kid who he's going to be here tonight. But he had to step in and play his first ever game as an offensive lineman. He was a tailback as a freshman and then a fullback to start the year. And we moved him to guard because we needed him. And our offensive line was kind of patched together a little bit at times in that game. And Jacob stepped up and played a real physical game up front for us.
All right, we're late in the season now. How healthy are we?
We've been
pretty good so far.
Still pretty good. We had a couple kids that were missing portions of or all of that game on Friday for various reasons. They should all be back and healthy this week. And so the starting lineups from week one are pretty much intact moving forward.
All right. That being said, this is the first year that I can imagine in a long, long time. In fact, I'm not sure I can imagine any year where we haven't had some significant injuries and lost one or two players for a couple of games. That's not happening with you. Is that still all your conditioning?
Well, there's luck involved in that. I do want to, give credit to the work kids did in the offseason. The reason you do that is to prepare your body for what ends up being a long season. But there's also injuries that in football are kind of unavoidable. And we've talked as coaches, as healthy as we've stayed, we lost Kingston Conley before the season started. We lost Christian Kerr before the season started. So there's some guys that would be contributing for us that we lost before we started week one of the season. And since then, we've managed to abstain from those injuries.
All right, Coach. Well, we'll put that one behind us, and we'll take just a little pause here, give people an opportunity to take a piece of this pizza, and we'll be right back after this 2-minute Cape Man timeout.
It's fall, and you know what that means. It's time for pumpkin spice and everything nice. Come into Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass and Medford for your pumpkin spice oil change. You thought 1040 weight oil was great. Wait till you try our special blend with cinnamon and nutmeg. Okay, we don't really have pumpkin spice oil changes. We do have the ability to keep your manufacturer's warranty in effect, have great coffee, snacks, Wi-Fi, comfortable waiting rooms, and the best staff around. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle but take care of you.
Tired of driving down that rough and bumpy driveway?
Let Moser Paving smooth out your driveway with grading, gravel, and some smooth and beautiful paving. Moser has been paving the way since 1965, so call the company that does it all. Utilities, demolition, leveling, rock deliveries, and of course, paving. Call the pros at Moser Paving, 479-2424. And don't forget to call Moser for your next rock delivery. That's 479-2424. Remember, 479-2424.
Savings and services available every day at Plaza Sewing and Vacuuming, along with all the supplies you need. Did you realize that knitting, quilting, crocheting, crafting, and sewing increases your mental acuity and physical dexterity? Everything you need is at Plaza and always at Plaza's pleasing prices. Plus, Plaza's technicians are prepared to keep your vacuum at its peak with all the accessories you need. Open from 9:30 to 5 Monday through Friday, till 4 on Saturday, and noon to 4 on Sundays on 6th between H and I at Plaza Sewing and Vacuum.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change is still the one you can trust when it comes to all your vehicle maintenance. They provide oil change services as well as other services like serpentine belt replacement, transmission, and radiator service. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your one stop for friendly, certified technicians and convenient drive-through service with no appointment necessary. They are still in that great and convenient location right next to Casa Flores, the corner of the Parkway and F Street. Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
Welcome back to the Caveman Corner, courtesy of our good friends at the Insurance Lounge, sponsored tonight by Abby's Pizza. We're at the Beacon Drive Abby's Pizza, enjoying some of that triple top. Coach, you just sampled some of that post pizza. Give me a personal endorsement on that one.
Pretty good.
Got his mouth full. Yeah. Caught him with his mouth full. All right. Thanks, Coach. All right. We put that last game behind us. Next game ahead, I pulled out an old score sheet last year from the Charlotte Grants Pass game, where Grants Pass lost by almost 60 points.
Yeah.
And then I put it away because that's got no bearing on this year's team. Charlton is a different team this year. Tell me about Charlton. Ranked seventh in the state in conference right now. And with a 2-5 record coming in. What do you know about this Charlton team?
Well, I mean, when you watch film, the first thing that stands out is I'm not sure they have anybody who's going to U of O at the end of this season. And they
almost first, always
that's
had that.
That's
first.
Yeah. But they're in some ways, I mean, they're Sheldon. They have similar scheme, similar discipline, same coaching staff. It's a pretty scrappy, resilient group. They're playing with average high school kids. You know, they're 180 at 85 pounds on the offensive line or defensive line.
No more 300 pounders going against
them. Yeah, is this the first week we'll line up against a defensive line that's
comparable,
smaller than our offensive line? Yeah. I don't know how many times I've had to with our kids this year, and they've done a good job of it. But you can't look at a record. Our conference is tough, and you know you can look and go, well, South Med beat Sprague. Yeah, they did, because South Med's a pretty good football team, and Sprague's a pretty good football team, and anybody in this conference, I think, at this point
can
compete. But it is clear that this isn't the team that's thumping people by 60 points like they have for the last 20 years.
They're a younger team. I think I counted 9 freshmen on their roster. So they're not only smaller but younger. So they lost a lot of that, and we've talked about that before in the migration to Willamette and what's happened there. So we beat that one to death. But at the same time, you should really have a leg up, particularly you're on your home turf.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be nice coming back home. We've been road warriors much of the season, and as I've said, and we've talked about it on previous Thursdays, we're still trying to put our finger on how to compete when you get off the bus, but... coming back home to this crowd and to this field for senior night for us, and getting a chance to play, you know, Sheldon, who's kind of like we've talked about this week, we've called him the Dragon, and they've wreaked havoc on this conference for a long time. And while they may not be that same team, we have an opportunity to go out there and slay that Dragon.
All right, so let's slay that dragon. How are you going to slay that dragon? First of all, what do you expect from them offensively? I know a little bit about them, but very little. I know they've got a quarterback who can throw a touchdown pass to a couple of guys. And
yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, they're pretty. They've got a couple of weapons on offense. One wide receiver in particular that they line up all over the field, and typically they're doing it to find different ways to get him the football. They got a really athletic quarterback that throws and runs the ball pretty well. They've actually played two quarterbacks these last few weeks. One's a sophomore, and so they may be trying to develop a younger guy. And similar, they're going to line up in bunch and empty and twins and trips and run a lot of the same stuff that you've seen Sheldon run for a long time. And again, try and target the ball to a couple of their weapons.
So how do you disrupt that offense?
Well, it's a combination. If we can limit the run game and make them one-dimensional, anytime you can make a team one-dimensional, you gain an upper hand. And then we'll vary our look. So hopefully coverage-wise, we've got a couple different coverages we'll be running. And the goal is to disguise those or to vary those looks enough that it's not a predictable down and distance or even pre-snap look. That we're varying it and keeping that quarterback guessing as far as who's going to be open and at what time.
So your goal is control the run and let your secondary take care of it.
Yep.
Pretty simple.
It's easy on paper.
So, yeah.
Awfully easy on paper. All right. How can you score on them, Coach? What do we expect? Big running game tonight?
You know, our goal is to reestablish the line of scrimmage. At least the last few games, we've battled and we've been scrappy, but we've been outsized. And so we want to establish the run game.
Reputations preceded.
Yep, absolutely. And they do some things. We've watched them, you know, and again, we're following South Med on film, so we get that joy every week. But they've shown in a couple of different films where they'll just take their D-line and cut offensive linemen because they are undersized. And so their response to that is just make piles at the line of scrimmage and let their linebackers fly around. And so that's a tough thing to practice because we don't want to cut our guys and get guys hurt. But we've repped it a little bit. We've talked about it. And so the first question early on is, like, how do we handle if they choose to take our legs out of the line of scrimmage, how do we handle that? And can we use that to our advantage to get the edge with our speed? And then they'll vary their coverage looks. And so being able to use tempos and frame calls to kind of catch what they're in and make the pass calls accordingly.
All right. If they clog up that interior, can he get around the edge? Could you get him outside, get the ball in his hand some way?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the goal. And a couple of different formation looks that'll give us a chance to do that, hopefully.
And once you get that run established, that's going to open up Trailer and Hill and Bowen and the rest of your crew. That's the plan.
Yep.
Easy enough.
Again, easy on paper.
Okay, all right. So that's all happening tomorrow. One more question about tomorrow night. What about rain, Coach? It's in the forecast.
It is in the forecast, and we've talked all week. If it's raining on our sidelines, it's probably raining on theirs, too.
On their side, too.
So who's going to handle cold and wet better? But it is a game changer. I mean, weather changes the outcome of football games, but that's late season playoff. That's a factor in all those games.
Well, all your young men have been playing football here for a long time. They know it's coming. But still, the first time out of the season, it's got to have an impact. Is there any way to practice for that or prepare for that?
I mean, there's
turn
things.
Turn the hoses on them? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's things you can do. We had a practice this morning where at least the ground was a little bit wet, and so the ball got wet. The tough part with the footballs we use now, they're so expensive, and they don't handle moisture well. So, when I was back in school, you'd dunk the ball in the bucket of water, and it'd be a sloppy mess. But we'd be looking at spending $1,000 a week on footballs if we just cast them into the water to do that. And so ball security is going to be a point of emphasis, and it's going to be something that theoretically can change the outcome of the game, but you just got to roll with that and deal with it.
Well, with your edge on the line in terms of weight, and a great running back, that sounds like a plan to me. Just fire that cannon as much as you can.
Yep. And depending on how they've chose to scheme for us, that should be something we try and do early.
All right. Any particular plan for the fans tomorrow night? I mean, is it a whiteout? We know it's senior night. Should anybody dress strangely? They tell you that?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay, all right.
No, we got senior night. We'll be announcing the seniors at about 6:30. So for people who are planning on coming out, that's a little bit earlier than we've done in the past. But we want to, if it is raining, we want to be able to get back in the locker room and dry off and warm up instead of just stand there for 20 minutes and then kick the ball off. So.
All right, so you're planning on that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, there are a couple more questions I want to get to, and we'll get to that when we come back right after this one-minute Caveman timeout.
For more than 50 years, Abby's Legendary Pizza has been a go-to spot for post-game gatherings. Whether celebrating a big win or the achievement of competing well with their teammates, young athletes and their families know exactly what they'll find at Abby's. Our own team of dedicated employees, serving up delicious traditional-style pizza in a friendly atmosphere. So, good luck this season, athletes. Compete well. We'll see you after the game at Abby's. A legendary pizza tradition. Yum.
A recent Clouser Drilling customer shares her experience.
This is Susan from Griffin Creek. And listen, if you need a new well, I want you to call Clouser Drilling right away. They were absolutely fantastic. Everything from locating the water to the drilling process itself. Their staff was top-notch, thorough, professional, on time, precise, friendly. Answered all my questions, and believe me, I had a lot of them. You won't regret it. Call Clouser Drilling.
Visit ClouserDrilling.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Glad to have you with us here. Coming to you live and direct from the Beacon Drive Abbey's Pizza. Head coach Matt Kennedy is here with us. We're talking Caveman football about the game tomorrow night. We've talked about past games and tomorrow night's game. And let's look just a little bit ahead to the future. What do you think of the playoff plan this year, coach? It's a little different from years past. The top 16 teams go into the championship, and the next eight play for the Columbia Cup. Any comments on that scheme?
Not particularly. I know last year it was 12 teams in the championship round and 16 in the Consolation Cup, and they obviously are still trying to find their footing on how many teams and in what format. And so, yeah.
All right. Now at this point, the top 16 teams in the championship bracket, you're currently ranked 15th. What do you see happening here? Are you concerned about that at all?
Not at all. Those things are outside of our control, and to concern ourselves with where we may or may not end up and who we may or may not play is just not something we put a whole lot of energy in. In fact, I mean, you can ask the boys, it hasn't come up once in any team meetings. We've got every week a singular job and a singular opponent, and if we can take care of one, then we move on to the next one, and when the dust settles, we'll find out if we made the tournament, which tournament, we'll find out who we're playing, and then we'll get ready for that one.
All right. What a time. I knew that was going to come up.
Yeah.
I just figured it that way. But I'm betting your players have looked.
That they know?
I bet. Yeah, don't you believe?
Oh, I would assume a lot of them probably do, and maybe those conversations have happened on the side. But what at least they hear from us and our staff is, like, look, that stuff doesn't matter, guys, if you don't take care of the business at hand, and that's Monday's practice.
Got to get two more games out of the way first. Yep. Here before you talk about playing Willamette. Well, you wouldn't play Willamette. They wouldn't put you in the first round against a conference foe.
I couldn't even tell you who's ranked top five right now.
Willamette's second.
Okay.
And they would probably drop you to the number three seed the way things work out right now if the numbers didn't change to Lake O. So it's going to be tough competition.
Yeah, if you're – well, you make the top 16, you're playing – a really good football team right off the bat, for sure.
All right. About a long season, is there a way that you contend with a longer season like that gets extended? One or two playoff games, that's more wear and tear on the players. You schedule more practices, less practices. How do you handle that as a coach?
You know, I think you have to kind of gauge it year to year and even week to week. And know the pulse of your team and know where you're at health-wise and know what you need to work on. And is it something that can be accomplished with more mental reps, or is it something that needs to be? And these last few weeks, we really have had physical weeks of practice, because that's still kind of where, when we've had hang-ups, there's been some physicality stuff that we got to work on. And as tough as it is, it's a physical game, and you got to practice physically in order to perform on Friday nights physically. Now, we get in the playoffs, we'll again kind of gauge the crowd in the room and adjust as necessary.
All right. Now, looking ahead, because we've talked about the rain tomorrow night, and we're certainly expecting that. That's what the forecast is. That forecast goes on way into the week.
Yeah.
With rain expected almost on a daily basis. How's that going to affect your practice schedule? Good, bad? You're moving inside? What do you do?
The plan is to be outside. Indoor practices are a totally different thing. A lot of times you look at a forecast, and if we're trying to plan for Tuesday, it says rain, but is it going to be raining from 4 to 6 or from 6 to 8? And
yeah, you could have some great windows to
Exactly. So we're kind of banking on hopefully getting some of those good windows and being outside. And if it's an absolute monsoon out there, then maybe we watch a little bit more film and hope the storm blows over and we can get out there a little bit later.
How much use of film do you really use? How many hours do you put in front of the guys? And I know they can watch it on their own, too.
Yeah, and we do assign kind of weekly film clips from Friday night's games of our own for them to kind of break down and analyze. Coaches put together some clips, and so that might take the kids 20 minutes to 45 minutes. I can look online, and there's kids that are watching 2 hours of film every week on their own, and then we collectively probably spend about an hour and a half.
You get information on what kids are watching?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I can pull up, and it gives me the list of who's been on and who hasn't.
No secrets these days, is
there?
No, there
are not.
All right, well, we're going to take just a little pause here. We've got news coming up here on KAJO Radio. We'll be back with some football players and more from head coach Matt Kennedy. You're listening to the Caveman Quarter here, courtesy of the Insurance Lounge, live and direct from Abby's Pizza on Beacon Drive. We'll see you right after the news at the top of the hour. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Insurance Lounge's Caveman Quarter here, coming to you live from the Beacon Drive Abby's Pizza. Coach Matt Kennedy here. We're in the second half of the program. This is where we get to talk to the real people who do the work. Who'd you bring for us tonight, Coach?
Tonight I got three guys. I got Parker Howe, who's playing outside linebacker for us. I got Jacob Thomas, who I mentioned earlier, played O-line for us, but has been playing a lot of D-line all year for us. And then Alejandro Leon, who's been our kicker all season long and punter.
All right. Thanks, Coach. All right, Parker, step forward. Tell me about last Friday's game. Tough game, but you really put on a battle defensively in the first half. Almost came back to a winning situation in the second half. How did that feel going home? What was the impact on the team for that game?
I feel like we all felt pretty good about the game. Even though we lost, we all played our hearts out and put it all on the field.
Left it on the field. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
That's all you can do. What did you learn about yourselves in that game?
Even though if the team plays as good as it can, I mean, it's not always going to go your way, so... All you can do is go out there every time and try your best.
All right. Tell me about your participation in that game. You happy with what you did?
Oh, yeah. I had most tackles I've had all year. I felt like I played
really?
Pretty well.
How many?
I had 10.
10 tackles?
Yeah.
That's impressive. Okay. Any bumps and bruises left over from that game?
Not really, surprisingly.
Oh, no. You ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, I know you've been here before, but we always go through this, but it's a different audience every time, so... tell me about school and what you like to study and any plans for the future right now.
I'm really just trying to focus on football and classes, trying to pass classes.
Now, what year in school are you?
I'm a junior.
You're a junior?
Yeah.
So you don't have to have long-term plans yet, but
no,
you might be thinking ahead a little bit, huh?
I haven't really thought about that yet.
No, okay. Well, we won't force you to. What do you like to study?
I like sports training and, like taping and, like, the... Like injuries, part of sports and stuff like that.
You want to be a trainer?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. A way to stay connected with sports.
Right. What do you have to study in order to achieve that goal?
Say that again, sorry.
What do you have to study in order to achieve that goal?
I'm in a sports med class right now, just learning how to like assess injuries and tape them, and just learning about the human body.
How do you assess that? How do you assess the injury? What's the first thing you ask somebody who was down?
I mean,
where does it hurt?
Yeah, talk to them, see what they're feeling, and then go from there, I guess. I don't know.
All right. Are you watching your own trainers closely, monitoring what they do?
Say that again, sorry.
Are you monitoring what your own trainers do when they're out on the field helping you?
Yeah, I talk to her pretty much, actually. I'm kind of interested in that stuff. So.
All right. So you're learning both on the field and off the field.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you're not learning, and when you're not focusing on football. What do you do just for yourself?
I like to hang out with family, friends, socialize.
Yeah, in what kind of environment?
Just like, my family is a pretty active family, so we have movie nights, weeks, like just stuff like that. Just try to stay involved and stuff.
All right, what's your favorite movie night? What's your favorite movie for movie night?
I don't really like movies, but yeah.
So you're just there for the social aspect?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, good. All right, once again, Parker, what do you think about the Sheldon Irish coming in tomorrow night?
I think it'll be a great game. We're both tough teams, so it'll be a battle.
Do you have any specific instructions or goals or assignments for that game?
Personally, I feel like our defense needs to stop the run in order to force them to throw the ball, and we can go from there.
All right. Have you played in the rain before?
Lots of times.
Oh, good. All right.
Yeah.
You're a Southern Oregon boy. All right. Alejandro, step up there. You've been here before, too, huh?
Yep.
All right. What was your part in last Friday's game?
Mostly special teams. I was kicking and punting the ball.
All right. Do you do anything besides kick for the football team?
No.
All right. And if somebody breaks through on a kickoff, are you able to tackle them?
Somewhat. I'm trying to learn.
All right. Have they told you what to do in that case? Get out of the way or?
Get out of the way or dive for the ankles. So.
Okay. Yeah. Go low or go to the sideline.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah.
All right. Tell me, obviously, a lot of our kickers come out of the soccer team. Do you have a soccer background? Is that what comes
from? I do. I had just played soccer last year in my freshman year, and I've been playing since I was 4 or 5 years old. And this is my first year not playing soccer.
All right. Do you miss it, one or the other? Which would you rather do?
That's a hard choice.
I bet it is.
I definitely do miss soccer, but I think the environment of the football team is the place for me to be.
Is it different?
It's really different. It's just, I feel like we're one big family here.
All right. So it's the family atmosphere in the football team that seems to be missing from the soccer team?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Can you point to a reason for that?
I'm not really sure. I think really, I think just the environment at the games really helps with that.
Okay, well, you're certainly playing in front of big crowds.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bigger crowds for the football. What kind of regimen do you go through to get ready to kick? And what's the longest kick that you've made? What's your technique? Does it all come from soccer?
No, not really. It's a lot different. Have to have super smooth technique and just follow through with the ball and kick it far.
All right. What's the difference in placements as opposed to punting?
Definitely just power and where you're aiming your hips, for sure. And then with power, it's just hit as hard as you can. Hope it goes far. Hit it right. It'll be fine.
Oh, okay, now on placements on a field goal. What's the longest you've kicked through the uprights?
In practice?
In practice, sure.
55 yards.
55 yards. That's amazing. It's different with people coming at you, though, isn't it?
Yeah, really different.
Really different. Really different. What's the longest you've kicked in action?
This season, I think I had a 35-yarder, but last season I had one as well. I can't remember what that one was, but
okay, that's very respectable in high school football, and no question about that. Mm-hmm. Any goals long term? Do you want to continue kicking? Is college on the horizon? What do you think?
I think so. College might be an option for me. Hopefully get a scholarship, go to school, and probably just study and play football.
Have you had any interest yet? There yet?
No, not yet.
What year in school are you?
I'm a junior.
You're a junior, so you've got some time yet.
Exactly.
All right. Is there a goal? Is there a place that you'd like to go to attend?
No, not really, as long as I can just get school paid for.
Well, that's an admirable goal these days. No quite. No. About that.
Yeah.
All right. So in order to get there, what course of study would you like to follow?
Kind of down the same road that Parker's going. I'm kind of interested in that sports medical stuff. I'm taking an ECR class right now.
Same one as him, or is it different?
I think it's kind of the same thing. It's a sports trainer.
As a sports trainer?
Yeah.
All right. What is the most interesting part of that?
I think just the type of injuries, like knowing what is wrong and how you can help it.
All right. What's the most common injury you see on the football field?
Cramps.
Besides cramps.
Pulling a muscle, maybe. Pulling muscle, I would think.
All right. Well, how do you diagnose that? How do you assess that?
Stretch them out, maybe wrap it, ice it, elevate. That's really right. About it.
And then how do you treat it? Can you get them back in the game, or is it sit down and rest for a while?
It would depend, maybe on like the pain tolerance or something like that. But
all right. And when you're not studying how to kick or how to fix cramps, what do you like to do? What do you do for entertainment?
Hang out with family, hang out with friends, go outside. Still like to kick the soccer ball around, go on runs. That's about it.
Oh, when you go outside, is that kicking the football or the soccer ball around, going on runs? How far do you run?
Not too far, maybe a mile max.
Just a mile?
Yeah.
All right. Only a mile, okay. Do you do any track?
Yeah, I do.
All right, what do you do in track?
I'm a sprinter.
Oh, yeah. All right. Tell me, sprinter, how fast is your 10? Oh, your 100?
My 100 is 11.2.
11.2.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm impressed. Do you do 200 also?
Yeah, I think 200 is really my main event.
Okay. And yeah. is that your best one?
I would think so. I run a 22.08.
Okay. Both respectable times. Goal to improve on those this year?
Yep. I'm hoping by my senior year I could break a track record. So.
All right. Want to write your name on the record book.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, how are you going to get there? What kind of training?
Working in the off season, I have a coach up in Medford that usually helps in condition in the winter. So,
all right, so some off-season conditioning.
Yep.
All right, well, certainly good luck there. Are there any other events you run in track or
the 400-meter?
Pardon me?
400 meters.
You do the 400?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's the time on the 400?
52 seconds.
Okay, all right. That's impressive, too. Yeah. I broke a minute once. At any rate, let's see. Yeah. So we've got you going to college, probably to kick. You're working on that. You're going to go as a sprinter also. But you don't do, long jump? Long jump would no. go with a sprinter, too. You still don't do that.
Okay.
All right. All right. Alejandro, thank you very much. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Savings and services available every day at Plaza Sewing and Vacuuming, along with all the supplies you need. Did you realize that knitting, quilting, crocheting, crafting, and sewing increases your mental acuity and physical dexterity? Everything you need is at Plaza and always at Plaza's pleasing prices. Plus, Plaza's technicians are prepared to keep your vacuum at its peak with all the accessories you need. Open from 9:30 to 5 Monday through Friday, till 4 on Saturday, and noon to 4 on Sundays on 6th between H and I at Plaza Sewing and Vacuum.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Beacon Drive Abbey's Pizza, where we're getting we've got the Caveman Corner going for the Insurance Lounge. And last but not least, step up with the microphone there, young man. Welcome to the microphones of KAJO. What do you think about last Friday's game? Tell me about it.
I was pretty happy with last Friday's game. It was probably the best game that I had all season.
Really?
Yeah.
In what respect?
I had some good stops, some good fills. I was filling gaps really good on defense, and I started the whole game at right guard, and mm-hmm. I've never done that before. But
oh, yeah, you're the one they moved into right guard. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did that feel, moving to a new position for this one?
Well, when I was younger, I've been playing football since second grade, Pop Warner and, middle school football. But I played right guard all the way up until seventh grade. And then I played running back up until my freshman year. But so playing guard isn't anything new to me, but it's definitely a different level once you're in high school. It's different.
All right. Do you have some friends hanging around here tonight?
Yeah, I do. I'm friends with everybody on the team.
All right. Did you look around your shoulder?
Yeah.
They're all right there?
Yep.
Okay, all right. Guys, what do you think about him? Go ahead. Yell out.
About who?
Him.
Scary. He's definitely scary.
He's scary.
They have gathered around him, folks. They have put him in the middle of the huddle. There's no question about that. Tell me, all right, you said you had a great game last Friday night. How many tackles?
I probably had 5 or 6 solo tackles, maybe a little bit more, and then I had, 4 assists, 5 assist tackles, so I had a good game.
Your buddy in the end had 10 tackles.
Yeah, he had a good game. Yeah.
Is he just blowing smoke? Or?
Yeah, Parker always has a good game. He's been good since sophomore year, so good linebacker for us.
What year are you now?
I'm a junior.
You're a junior.
Yeah.
All right, tell me about what's coming up tomorrow night. You got the Sheldon Irish.
We almost beat Sheldon our freshman year. We lost by a touchdown in the fourth quarter, but they're a good squad. They're definitely not the Sheldon that they normally are, with having 3 D1 offensive linemen every year. But they're still Sheldon and a respectable team, and they have great coaches. So
yeah, they don't have an Oregon Duck quarterback there anymore, do they?
Yeah, no. Okay. But they're still a respectable team, and we got to take it just like any other opponent we're going to have to take on in the regular season. So
you have a specific goal or an assignment tomorrow night?
Yeah, you know, I want to get a bunch of tackles. I'll probably get in a guard again, but the main guy's back playing right guard. But I'll probably get some reps and, you know, just overall dominate the Sheldon Irish. So
you just want to go in and dominate, huh?
Yeah.
All right, well, good job. Do you go both ways?
Yeah.
Offense and defense?
Yeah, I play defense and offense.
All right. So how's the conditioning? Are you up? You up for that for the whole game? Never coming off the field, basically?
Yeah, I definitely get a little gas. So I'm definitely a little heavier than I am last year. So it's like my body's not like super used to the weight.
You're a little. How much heavier from last year?
I ended the season last year at 170 pounds, and I'm 205 now.
Okay. So. Coach said earlier you should be taller.
I should be what?
The coach earlier said you should be taller or grow some more.
I don't know. I wish. My dad's 5'9". I'm 5'10". My mom's 5'3". So
you've already outgrown everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Listen, when you're not playing football, what are you studying in school?
Definitely my favorite class that I have right now is I'm in an advanced metal fabrication class that I take. And, you know, we do everything from fabrication to welding to our welding certifications. So, you know, people will bring in trailers, boats, cars, and we go in there and we fix them for them for cheaper than a normal shop would do. And, you know, we get certifications in the welding class that we can use in our resumes and our further life. So,
all right. Tell me about fabrication. Do you actually... You're creating something to fit.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, so...
Is that the fascination?
Yeah, so, like today, me and my buddy Clayton Markey, he plays on the football team, too. This guy brought in, like, a ATV trailer, and he needed some square tube welded on the ramp for it, because to support it, you know, we spent all today grinding paint and welding up square tube and everything for his trailer, and we fabbed it up for him and fixed it. And we've done... We did four trailers last week, and we're on a roll, pumping some stuff through.
You're pumping the stuff out, huh?
Yeah.
All right. What's the biggest challenge you faced in that class?
Definitely just learning everything. There's a lot that goes into welding, a lot of math. There's a lot of processes. There's a lot of, you know, you got to have the right angle, correct arc length. I mean, there's a lot that goes into welding. It's really, it takes a lot.
A lot of math, huh? Just lost me. How do you handle it?
I handle it pretty good. It definitely helps having good buddies in that class to help you out, you know, and having a good teacher. Jake Lear is the teacher at the metal fabrication class, and he's been doing it for a while. And he's a graduate of Grants Pass, and he's a great guy, and he knows what he's talking about.
Do you see that as a lifetime vocation?
What was that?
Do you see that as a lifetime vocation?
I could, yeah. I want to go into the Navy after high school, and I think being a welder in the Navy would be cool. But, you know, you don't always get to always choose what you want to do in life, so...
Why the Navy?
My grandpa and my brother. My brother's currently in the Navy right now. He just enlisted another 4 years.
All squids.
Yeah, I really.
He said with the most respect. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I really like the opportunities.
Talking to a grunt. I'm sorry, I can't help it.
Yeah, I like all the opportunities that it gives, and you get to travel around the world a little bit. You get to go see the sea. I mean, my brother's seen Tokyo. He's been to Diego Garcia. He's been all around the world from the Navy, and. I think it sets you up pretty good in life.
All right. Have you already have you set that in stone yet? Have you talked to the recruiter? Are you ready to go upon graduation?
I haven't yet. I haven't set in stone, but it's a pretty solid career path that I look forward to.
That's a career path. Well, not a bad career path, and we salute you for your service already. So great way to go. And when you're not contemplating the Navy or sailing around the world or planning your next football tackle, what do you do for fun? What do you do to break away just for you?
I'm a big hunter and fisher.
Okay.
Yeah, I love to hunt. I love to fish and, you know, work on cars. And my grandpa at a very young age got me into working on, like, cars. And, you know, me and my buddies were riding around, you know, the riding lawnmowers without decks, you know, trying to, you know,
You wouldn't race those things, would you?
We tried, but, you know, it's hard to get them to go fast. It takes a lot of... But
right. Do you have a car right now, personally?
I do. I have a truck and a car.
All right. Which is your favorite?
I like driving my truck because it's a manual, but driving my car is definitely nicer.
Is it three on the tree, or is it
five-speed.
Pardon me, you got a five-speed. What kind of truck?
It's a 1999 Nissan Frontier.
Oh, okay. All right. Tell me about it. What have you done to it?
I haven't done a whole lot to my truck. When I bought the truck, it had a bad clutch in it, and I was probably about a year and a half ago, so I'd never done a clutch or anything, so I dropped the transmission by myself in my garage and replaced the clutch and replaced all the throw-out bearings and pilot bushings, and I did that all myself, just learning how to do it.
And it worked.
Yep, and it works. Still working.
Okay, all right. And you said you have a car, too?
Yeah, I got a... Yeah, I have a 2004 Camry. It's just a nice little get-around car.
Oh, that's all. That'll last you a long time.
Yeah.
Just change the oil in it.
Yep.
All right. Now, tell me about your hunting and fishing. What are you hunting, right? It's hunting season right now. Do you have time to get up?
Yeah, it's a little rough. Definitely like Saturday morning after a game getting up, but...
got to get up well before dawn. Huh?
Yeah, it's been a little hot this season and dry, but I've been pretty successful the last 3 years. I killed a deer last year, and then I killed a 3x3 the year before, and then a fork the year before. But I really enjoy turkey hunting. Turkey hunting's my thing. Cause
really?
There's a lot of action. I mean, there's turkeys everywhere around Southern Oregon.
A lot of shooting, man.
Yeah, yeah. I like calling them in, seeing them, hearing them. Turkey hunting's pretty awesome. And then for fishing,
So are you a good caller?
A good cook?
Caller.
Oh, I'm okay.
Obviously pretty good.
Yeah, I'm decent at it. It takes a little bit of skill, but...
How did you learn?
I actually learned from my buddy. His name was Owen Hole. He was a graduate last year at Grants Pass High School, and he's wrestling at Wyoming right now, actually, Division I. So he taught me how to hunt. Really cool kid. Really awesome.
Okay, I got to ask you about your fishing, too, and what's your favorite spot?
I can't tell you my favorite spot.
Nobody has told me their favorite spot yet.
But this year in the summer, I got the opportunity with that Owen Hole, his dad. We went commercial fishing in Igigik, Alaska for a month and a half. We flew up there the beginning of June, stayed up there for a month and a half, and I rebuilt a cabin up there, and then...
Whereabouts? Whereabouts?
It's called Igigik, Alaska. It's right there off the start of the peninsula at the bottom of Alaska. We stayed there for a month and a half, no internet.
I just spent 20 years in Alaska, so go ahead.
Yeah. we set net fished. So we were set netters, and we tie our nets to the shore and drag them out, and we did that for like 30 days. We fished, and we caught 75,000.
Is that western Alaska? That's not the place that just got hit by the typhoon, is it? That's not the place that just got hit by the typhoon, is it?
I don't think so. I don't believe so. I think that was, we were a little more a little more south, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, we caught 75,000 pounds of sockeye salmon.
All right.
Yep. And then we'd bring them to like a tender, you know, and we sold the salmon for they're $1.05 a pound. You know, the salmon average probably six or eight pounds a salmon. So I take 10% of that profit. So it was good money for me over the summer.
Now, what did you think about the sunlight?
It was pretty wild. You'd come out at like 10, 11 o'clock at night, you know, and be bright as light out. You know, we would work sometimes. The tides would be real low at like 12 o'clock at night, and we'd work all the way up until the sun came up, picking fish out of nets, and it was fun. It was a great experience. I'll probably do it again.
All right. Give me some advance notice. I'll go with you. All right. You're listening to the Caveman Corner right here on KAJO Grants Pass. All right, guys. Give me a prediction. Go back over here. Give me a prediction for tomorrow night. What do you think is going to happen tomorrow night? What do you want to see on the scoreboard when it's done?
I'm not going to give you a score, but it's going to be a close game. It'll be a battle.
Going to be a close game?
Yep.
All right. And... All right. Alejandro, winning by a field goal, huh?
Yeah. That'd be cool. Hasn't happened this season yet. Hopefully it doesn't, but...
Close game. Tell me, it's going to be a runaway.
Yeah, I hope we really stomp them, really. I mean, I want to see what our team can do, and I know we're capable of playing elite football, and I think if we all come together and play right, it'll be a great game, and we'll... So much Grants Pass football is all about.
All right, gentlemen, it's been great talking to all of you. I want to thank you very much for your time. Wish you the very best with whatever you do going forward. Of course, we'll be following you every football game we possibly can, all the way, as long as it lasts, guys. Just keep it going, and we'll be there talking. So thank you all very much. Coach, you want to have a final word here before we head down the freeway? All right.
More pizza, please.
Oh, lots of pizza flowing around here. All right, once again, Coach, you brought us some great young men. Really appreciate that. And they're looking forward to tomorrow night. And just like you, they won't give me a score. They won't give me a prediction. Do you drill that into them? Or?
Well, they've heard it a few times, I think.
I'll find one. I will find one that will give me a prediction here soon. Before
and
the
he
season.
Will never come back.
Yeah, he'll never. Okay. What do you think about these young men now?
My guys?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, it's why you do it. It's why you do this. As much as I love being out there on Friday nights and I love the game of football, there's something to be said just watching these guys do things the right way. And
is it the relationships? Is it seeing the growth or hoping for the growth? Or really?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. But there's just a team full of guys that love what they do. They love being around each other. They bought into doing things the right way in the classroom and in the hallways and in the locker room. And it's been a real cohesive group this year.
All right. Do you have an opportunity to get away from the football field and away from the situation where it's coach and teacher and student or coach and player to really create a relationship? Or is that almost a formal situation through the year?
Well, I mean, from the moment I kind of stepped into the role this year, it's been a lot of kind of me in that coach role. And as the head coach, it's kind of more what's expected and what's needed from you. You know, I also have a great group of assistant coaches, and I think that every kid in our team feels like they have a close connection with at least one, if not an entire coaching staff. But we've got a good group of guys that know the game, love the game, but also are there to support kids.
All right. Coach, best of luck tomorrow night. Sheldon Irish, bring home another win here. We're putting the one in the win column, and that's me doing that. That's not you doing that. Because I believe that you're better every time.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Caveman Quarter right here on KAJO. We invite you to keep listening to KAJO for the football game tomorrow night. Kickoff is at 7 o'clock. We'll be on there at 6:30. Then, of course, on Saturday, I guess there's a big football game with the Ducks there hosting the Badgers out of Wisconsin. And I think that gets underway about 4 o'clock with a 2 o'clock pregame right here on 99.7 FM, 1270 AM. Once again, from Abby's Pizza for the Insurance Lounge, I'm Chuck Benson for the Caveman Corner.
You have been listening to the Caveman Corner, brought to you by Abby's Legendary Pizza from their Beacon Drive location. You are invited to join us in the Caveman Corner.